Well, we are entering one year and beginning another. And as Rhonda and I were praying this morning, did you anticipate last year at this last Sunday going into 2018 all that was going to happen that year? Did you? No. There were a number of surprises, right? We had a new baby born, and we had my mom go to heaven. Those are two things I didn't know this Sunday last year. So you think, do you think there might be some prizes this coming year? Possibility that there might be some things that we don't expect that will happen. And so I thought as we end one year and as we begin the new year, I would focus our attention on a constant, something that we can count on, something that we can be assured of, and that's God Himself. We're going to be focusing the next few weeks on who God is, the greatness of God, the trustworthiness of God, the love of God, something that we can count on. I don't know if you notice, sometimes people let us down, but God does not let us down. And I don't want to just simply focus on God in the abstract, but God who desires to know us, to have a relationship with us. Amazing. I just always stand in awe of a God who seeks us. We focused on Jesus' purpose for coming. He came to seek and to save the lost. We looked at the Gospel of John, that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And in that life, John tells us in 17:3, eternal life is to know Him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. I found myself going back to a kind of a classic, if you can count the 1970s as classic, J.I. Packer, Knowing God. If you haven't dug that out recently, it's amazing. He did not have any conception of what God would do with one book that focused on God. The title of the book is Knowing God. And he begins by focusing our attention on the fact that it's just not information about God that we're looking for, or that God is giving us. He's not just giving us data. He's giving us Himself, and He wants to know us. He wants us to know Him. He starts the book by asking a series of questions. What were we made for? Answer, to know God. What should be the aim of our lives? Answer, to know God. And what is the eternal life that Jesus gives? Answer, to know God. So you notice it's a big subject. In fact, it's such a big subject that Millard Erickson in his Christian Theology writes, because humans are finite and God is infinite, if they, that is humans, are to know God, that knowledge must come about by God taking the initiative to make Himself known. I just want to, that last part, God takes the initiative to make Himself known. It's pretty presumptuous, isn't it, to say, I'm going to talk to you about the greatness of God. And you go, where'd you get your information? Like, what's the source? And you go, the only way we can know Him is if He pursues and reveals Himself to us. You can't know the infinite God without the infinite God revealing Himself. So as we look at the greatness of God and knowing Him better, we'll focus on what it means to trust Him, to love Him, and God in His extraordinary plan created us for a relationship with himself. He created us in his image with the capacity to have fellowship with him. So as I look at the character or attributes of God, I wanted to begin by focusing on God communicating to us. So how are we doing here? God communicates with us. We got that theme, and I need water. Is it the dry air? God spoke the universe into being, setting in place the world in which we live. God spoke, and the universe came into being. I know I love talking about the different views of Genesis 1 and day and all that. I just want to focus on one thought, and that is he created the whole universe out of nothing. The theologians call it ex nihilo, out of nothing. God created the universe out of nothing. Now, you remember the atheist who said, I can do everything you can do? And God, he takes something, he starts making it, and God says, get your own dirt. Get your own dirt. They started with something. God created the universe out of nothing. And as Walt read this morning, it says, let there be light. He spoke, and it came into existence. That's the power of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul writes, God calls into being things that were not. Or as you see as a reflected in John's Gospel, that parallels Genesis 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And here's all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So God created everything. And you see this passage reflects it. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God created everything. Acts 4:24, the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. God created merely by his word. God said, let there be light. That was sufficient for light to come into existence. So it's interesting that by God's word, he communicates through his word. He just speaks, he communicates, he brings into existence the universe, and then the universe itself testifies to his existence. So David says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare that God exists. It declares the greatness of God. Or the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 1, for what can be known about God is plain to them. Plain to whom? To everyone. Everyone can see this general or universal revelation of who God is, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. So God is the creator, and through his creation, he testifies to who he is. Through history, we see the providence of God declaring who he is. Daniel said, he changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. And then God reveals himself through human beings. When you see those little babies, you go, whoa, that's amazing, amazing to see that new life. And you say, that is a testimony. But not only our physical being, but our moral compass testifies that there is a moral being that created us. God created us. And every person, even the atheist, has this sense of the supernatural. There's something testifying. So the creation God testifies to how great he is. God is revealing himself to every person, everywhere, in every time, to how great he is. He's given a testimony to testify to who he is. But God not only reveals himself generally, universally, through his creation and history and through our own spiritual and moral nature and our sense of the supernatural, God expressed himself to people. And that's where we see God initiating this communication of relationship. He communicated with people. He communicates with people. He created us for understanding him and knowing him and introducing himself to us. Isn't that a remarkable thing? So God expressed himself to people, initiating relationship. And as was read this morning in Genesis chapter 1, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. So what is God doing? He's communicating our responsibility. He's giving us instructions on how to live. God exhorts and gives instructions on the life that we live, which is a responsibility to oversee what he has created. God has given us responsibility. Then God explains his provision for us. He has created all these plants, vegetables, broccoli, except didn't George H.W. didn't like broccoli. Okay, asparagus. No, he created all of this, an abundance of it. Isn't it remarkable? God created all of this for us. He created that. God has given every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And then he said, and God saw everything he has made and said, this is good. But God also communicated prohibition. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. And when we see God's prohibition, often the response is, oh, he's keeping us from something that would be for our fun, right? No, actually, it's for our well-being. God's prohibitions, God's commands are for our well-being because he loves us. He knows what's best for us. God set parameters on what's for our well-being. By the way, after he created all that and told Adam what he shouldn't do, he needed help, so he created Eve. Okay, just remember the context. He needed Eve for help to accomplish that. Then God encourages us through a promise. After the fall of humanity, after the fallenness and the disobedience, God gives a promise. I will put an enmity between you, talking to the serpent. I'll put an enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring, that is Jesus. And he, Jesus, shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So God provides a solution to the problem of sin that resulted from disobedience to the command of God. He already had a plan to redeem us. As some of you remember Don Mostrom. How many still miss Don Mostrom? Okay. He used to pray for every seat. I don't know if there's residual prayer in your seat, but he would pray for every seat every Sunday morning. Am I right, Pastor Bob? Okay, yeah. Pastor Bob was here. He prayed for every seat. He prayed for each one who would come. And my favorite book that he wrote is The Intimacy of God. And in this book, he focuses on God's revealing himself, but not simply to give us information, but to have intimacy with God, to have a relationship with God. It wasn't just more stuff to put in our brains. And one of the dangers we face is just stuff as opposed to relational stuff. And so I don't know if you remember this illustration. It's a cold day, and you're walking along, and you come by a home in which, because of the cold outside and the warmth inside, there's a fog on the window. But on the fog on the window, I hope I'm describing it well, there was clearly something written on the fog on the window. Have you ever written on the fog on the window? Okay, so as you approach more closely and try to read the words on the fog on the window, you all of a sudden, you can see through, and there's a person behind the fog on the window. And as you peer through, you realize that the writer of the words on the window is inside. And you realize that his illustration goes this way, as you look into God's words and see God's words written, you realize that those words were intended for us to see him, not simply to see the words, to see through the fog on the window in the words to know him. And when God communicated, and as God has communicated, it is to invite us into a relationship with him. I think it is appropriate to summarize the whole Bible as God's love letter to you and to me. I think that it's not an oversimplification. God actually loves us and sent us a letter to communicate his love for us. Not simply so that we could be informed about how great he is, but would fellowship with him, that we might know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. However, people have rejected God's communication. People have rejected what God has provided. They have rejected his commands or his prohibition. And you see that in Genesis chapter 3. And I won't go through in every detail, but simply it seems that the fundamental basis for rejecting God is pride. About me. It's all about me. I always tell folks, never put me as the subject of a sentence. That's my English thing. Me and John going to the store is not proper English. Whenever me is first, it's out of place. Okay, you got it. So, John and I went to the store. Okay. Me always belongs at the end of the sentence. But for the temptation went this way. You can be like God. Can you imagine how foolish a deception that was? You eat this and you're going to be like God. That's pride. But here was, I think, the next thing. Has God said? Has God said, don't eat from the tree of good and evil? Has God said that? Of course he said it. It was obvious. God said that, and yet Eve, and then Adam, probably close by, rejected what God said. And why do you think they rejected what God said? Why do people reject what God says? They do not trust the goodness of God. That God has our well-being in view. They say, I think fundamental to that rejection is distrust of the goodness of God. Once by man's free will, disobedience entered the world. Sin distorted God's creation and introduced evil. As a result, you have all that we have. that's kind of obvious at the end of 2018 to realize the fallenness of our world. Fourthly, how do we hear God speak to us? I think we all, as followers of Christ, we want to hear God's voice. We want to hear His guidance and direction for our lives. We want to know. Don't you want to know what God's will is? I pursue that question quite a bit. I remember first pursuing that question as I was coming to the end of college, saying, Lord, psychologist or pastor? I didn't realize the answer was both. No, I'm just kidding. But I was on my way to a graduate school in psychology. And so I understand that does God want you to do this or that? Maybe your question this year is, does God want me to be here or there? Or this job or that job? Or we have a lot of questions about what God wants us to do. And I think that is a very good question. What's the more important question? Not where, not what, but who. Who are we to be, and who is God in our relationship with Him? Remember what J.I. Packer said, the most important thing is to know God. Have you thought about the fact that whether you're in Tennessee or Texas or Albany, New York, you can know God? The most important thing is not dependent on your location or your job. The most important thing is knowing God. And so He's challenging us, if we're to enter this year, the pursuit is to know Him and to hear His voice. God has spoken, we read in Hebrews chapter 1, in various ways long ago. At many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers. He did, didn't He? Angel to Abraham. Dreams to Joseph. Visions to the Apostle Peter, right? He spoke in many ways. But in these last days, the writer of Hebrews says, He's spoken to us by His Son, in whom He appointed the heir of all things, and through whom He created the world. His Son, He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purifications for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus is the fullness of the revelation of God. The fullness of who He is in Jesus. Jesus is the by very nature, God Himself incarnate. How do we hear God speak? We look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We look to the Scriptures, the foundation, we read in Ephesians 2, of the church is the apostles and prophets. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, I could read so many things there. He says, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths, which we made known to you, the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Peter said, I saw Him, culminating in the transfiguration and the resurrection. But then he concludes this section by saying, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes the word of God and applies it to the people of God, to the heart of God. All Scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We need to listen to God speak. I have a nephew, his name's Phil Masterson. He's a young guy. He's a Deerfoot guy, for those who like Deerfoot. He leads a training component of a church in the Boston area that's primarily with college and career. And he sent me recently his new website. I'll give a free. PraxTrain.com. P-R-A-X Train. And what he's trying to do is help these young adults that he is training and helping in their walk with God, to develop spiritual disciplines. Prax Train does focus on reading the scriptures, reading through the Bible this year, praying, journaling, memorizing, contemplating, interacting with fellow believers, seeking how God wants to apply those things to our lives. There's spiritual disciplines that help us know God better. I really do believe spiritual disciplines are very helpful in our walk with God. Jesus got up early in the morning and he spent time with the Lord. But in addition, there's this walk with God that's all day long. And I think that's where scripture memory is so helpful, that you just keep reflecting on God's word throughout the day. David, Psalm, you know, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in the season. Leaf won't wither, and whatever he does will prosper. There's that thought of meditating. I even, as I was preparing, and I always think this is helpful, but as I prepare for a message, it's interesting. It's the memorized scripture that keeps running through your mind and reflecting and thinking about it. As you think about and contemplate, I want to, however, focus not on only what we read, but the priority is knowing God better. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. Henry Blackaby challenges us, pursue God first. Discover who he is and what he is doing, and then join him. So as I just added a concluding thought. Do you know God in a relational way? Do we know God in a relational way? How much of our lives is spent reflecting about God rather than communing with God? You tracking that? How often do we spend time learning things about God rather than ultimately seeing through the fog in the window and seeing God himself? Moses began his ministry that way. He learned about God. And then it's fascinating. He's given the Ten Commandments, right? I mean, written in stone. You think that was the end of the story. But as you read through that passage where he has the word of God, we read these words. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. He didn't just want to do a job. He wanted to know the God who called him to do the job. He wanted to know God. He wanted to serve God. And as he reflects, we realize Moses helped deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt. He helped them pass through the Red Sea. He now has the Ten Commandments. And you'd think that would be the end of the story. But here's the end of the story. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, Yahweh, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, Yahweh, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. What did Moses really want? Not just know about God, not just do things for God. He wanted to know the loving God. He wanted to know the, and God reveals himself. He sends a love letter to Moses, and he sends a love letter to us that we might know him the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much that your God, who is so great, we can't even begin to fathom it. In our finiteness, we can't even imagine the awesomeness of this omnipotent, all-powerful, loving, merciful, just, righteous, eternal, infinite God. And yet you have communicated to us a love letter that you care about us. You created us for a relationship with yourself. And in your communication, you have invited us to know you. Lord, as we enter this coming year, we cannot even fathom the challenges ahead. We can't even imagine perhaps what this whole world might face. And as we look at people and how far they fall short, and we look at our own falling short, we realize that only by your grace and your mercy can we go forward. But we thank you that whatever happens, that the God who created the universe, the God who orders history, the God who created us in your image for a relationship with you, is inviting us to know you better, to walk with you more closely, and to love you more dearly this year. Lord, if there's someone who's here that has never entered that relationship of a walk with you, that today would be the day, recognizing just as Adam and Eve had disobeyed the command of God, all of us have come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. And Lord, we thank you that you redeemed us. You reached out to us and you promised a redemption that comes only through your Son, Jesus Christ. And in him, there is no other way except through Jesus. And that if we trust in him and his death on the cross, who paid the penalty that we deserve, we can enter into relationship with you. And as we begin that relationship with you, it's not about just a conversion experience, but it's about a growth day by day. So in this new year, we want to know you better, love you more, serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.